Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the daily. No, it's not. It's the inaugural Derek Hunter Podcast. That's right, it's a name change. Why? Well, I'll explain. Today is the 29th day of June 2020. You shouldn't have to do anything different to get it. It's just a name change because of the, well, in a preemption of the cancel culture. To be honest with you, the left has gone absolutely nuts and trying to cancel everything. The Daily Caller is a news site. Nothing against them. I helped found the damn thing. But they are a news site. And I am an opinion show, and my opinions can and likely will offend you. Not you, but other people. And I didn't want the Daily Caller to be held responsible for what I said. And I also didn't, and I don't think they wanted to be held responsible for what I said, because they didn't have any say over what I said per our agreement. And I did not want to, I found myself sort of not censoring, but double thinking, slowing down, going, should I really talk about this or should I say this? Because that could cause problems for everybody involved. And that was not a good thing. It's not what I set out to do this show, and I did this show in a very specific way because I wanted to do this show. I wanted to do a show I would listen to. You know, the humor, the smart-ass comments, the asides, the personal anecdotes, and the story choices. I had absolute control over all of that. And the way things have gone into a frenzy, I thought that, well, this could be a problem going forward. So we had a chat, and we agreed that the original agreement, still, you know, I own the show, they distribute the show. It's better to do it this way. The show is going well. It's growing, and it's growing because of you, not because of me, and not because of them, quite frankly. And to be honest with you, having to write up the post every night got to be a bit of a pain, because I don't remember exactly the topics I listened to. So I'd record a show and then have to go back and go, what in the hell did I do? And then I have to put a certain number of links in each post. And that became almost, not completely, but almost as time consuming as the show itself, recording the show itself. So I thought, let's separate. We get the distribution. You guys got, if you were subscribing to this on Friday, you should be getting this show today. So you won't notice any difference whatsoever, except in the name of it. Plus, when people search my name now, they'll find it on iTunes. It wasn't, you had to search the website in order to find it on iTunes. Well, now you should be able to find it on iTunes just by searching my name. So that's good. Plus, it's easier to remember. And now I'm responsible for everything that is said on the show. Even though I was responsible for everything that was said on the show before, they can't sort of hang it around anybody like an anchor going forward. It's all me, baby. It's all me. I'm eternally grateful to Neil for letting me pinch off of the website for the, was it, had to have been 2 years, a year that I did. But given how things are, and given how things are going to get, and given how I'm going to get, I figured it was better. And we agreed to part as friends. So there you go. So it's the Derek Hunter Podcast, because my radio show is the Derek Hunter Show, and don't want to confuse between the two. Anyway, that's all it is. That's what changes. And the email address is what changes. It's now much longer and more complicated. Sorry, folks. I'll probably set up a new email at some point. But when I first signed up for Gmail, just Derek and Derek Hunter were taken by somebody, some other jerk named Derek Hunter or Derek. So now it's Derek Allen Hunter at gmail.com. A-L-L-A-N. All one word. No spaces. No, well, you can't put spaces in emails. But no underscores, no dots or anything like that. And that one goes directly to my phone anyway. That one I know the password to. And so you can email me there. And yeah, I'm excited. Very excited. So let's get into it. We do have an action-packed program for you today. It's another Monday, another weekend of insanity. TV shows are being pulled left and right and center. Why? Because they featured blackface. I have no idea. I guess I don't watch enough broadcast TV to pick up on this stuff. But even the gold, well, the Golden Girls one is fine. 30 Rock had an episode. Saturday Night Live had a bunch of things. Jimmy Kimmel has apologized for skits that he did on The Man Show, dressed up as Carl Malone. It's all just freaking nuts. And it's going to get crazier. That's why, you know, they can come after me, but they can't do anything to me. Because, you know, what are they going to do? Complain to me about me? And I'm going to say, well, I'll have a serious conversation with myself about this as soon as humanly possible, and maybe some disciplinary actions will take place. As Adam Carolla says, it's a pirate ship. It's a pirate. It's more like a pirate rowboat because it's still just me and the cats. But it was always just me and the cats and the kids. And all that will continue. But we'll get into the cancellations, including the freaking Golden Girls, in an episode where they wear mud masks on their face for their pores. That's what I mean when I say it's getting incredibly stupid out there. But first, a word from our lovely, lovely sponsor, AncientLifeOil.com. AncientLifeOil.com. CBD is all the rage. CBD oil is all the rage, and it should be all the rage. It's great stuff. Don't take my word for it, though. Use the interwebs, search CBD oil benefits, and see what people are saying about it. Now, you could say, well, these are fake, these are phony, these are somebody set them up. Talk to your friends, talk to your family. I bet you. You know somebody who's using CBD oil that you don't have any idea. It's not marijuana. It's from the cannabis plant. It is not pot. It doesn't have THC, and it's not going to get you high. What it will do is help alleviate your stress, it'll aches and pains. It helps with my eye strain at the end of a long day of sitting on my ass and staring at a computer screen. CBD oil from AncientLifeOil.com. I have the 500 milligram chocolate mint. You go to AncientLifeOil.com. You choose your selection. There's even creams. There's all sorts of supplements there to make you feel better about yourself. And then at checkout, you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K. Just that simple. You get free fast shipping when you click apply. Clicking apply is key, folks. Click apply. You get a great deal. You get free shipping. You get all those things. And you help support this little pirate rowboat. So thank you to them, and thank you for that. All right. Did you see over the... It's kind of funny, because June is Pride Month, right? It's Gay Pride Month. It was Gay Pride Month. Now it's LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ Pride Month. They have to keep expanding it. But you wouldn't know it from anything. Normally, this time of year, all the companies have changed all their logos to rainbows, and everybody's virtue signaling about how they love gay people, so on and so forth. But the protests and riots have taken over. There's not a whole lot of pride-related things. Twitter, for example, which would usually go full in, not just Twitter, the website, but the actual Twitter account for Twitter, would normally go all in. It'd be rainbows everywhere, and we're all in favor of gay rights, and so on and so forth. Well, now the Twitter's official Twitter account is all about Black Lives Matter. You wouldn't even know it's Gay Pride Month, except occasionally they tweet about how gay, black, trans, or black, trans, I don't know what the official terminology is, lives matter too. Which, again, what I find insane about this is nobody should be killed for who they are. Nobody. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your sexual orientation is or whatever you run around telling people. I don't care. You shouldn't. Nobody should be killed for that. But you're looking at, and this is going to sound douchey and cold, but it's not. It's not meant that way anyway. It's that people, you should work big to small, right? If you're dealing with a problem, you should work big to small. If you're trying to get your body healthy and look your best, and you're obese, your toenails are a foot long, you haven't taken a bath or a shower in a long time, oh, and your body's riddled with cancer. When dealing with it from a health perspective, what do you deal with first? What do you deal with? Do you go, well, I'm going to make sure that I don't want to ruin any more socks. I'm going to go get a manicure and a pedicure. And I'm going to make sure it's the best. That's my number one priority in life right now. You look at that and you go, you look at that person and you'd go, wait, your toenails? Really? Oh, yeah, the toenails. I'm also going to take a bath, long, hot bath. And I think I'm going to take one every night and every day and have just a grand old time washing every crevice of my glorious naked body. And you're probably sitting there going, your body's riddled with cancer. Shouldn't you, I don't know, go to the doctor for that? Shouldn't that be the first priority? Yeah, the toenails are bad. The not showering a long time, the obesity, the teeth falling out, that's all bad. But even if you got the best manicure and pedicure in the world, your body's still riddled with cancer. You should probably, start with the big one because that, you got to deal with the most immediate issue. And they go, I'm comfortable with the choice that I've made. And they sort of deny that there's this cancer problem. That's a lot of what's going on right now. I have some audio here. I don't know the name of the priest, the pastor, whatever the hell he is. I don't know what I'm from. I know in Catholic Church it's a priest, so the reverend. We'll just call him a reverend, who is giving a sermon recently, probably over the weekend, because this is the first time I've ever seen it, and nothing happens until I see it. So everything I see is fresh. And he's talking about the problems and the protests in the streets. Nobody's denying that police brutality is a problem. Police are brutal, they commit police brutality, it's a horrible thing. I don't care what person they commit them against. But when you're taking to the streets for one thing that, 14 people a year are killed over, killed by, killed through, whatever you want to, however you want to put it. And you are ignoring the thing that kills thousands of people every year, hundreds in every city. And the numbers over Chicago over the weekend and over the past few weekends are astronomical. They're really like casualty reports from the beginning of the Afghan war. It's insane. Actually, I think that the casualty reports at the beginning of the Afghan war were less than the numbers coming out of Chicago for killed and wounded. When you're focusing on one tiny area of it, to the exclusion of everything else, you're not really doing anybody any good. You're not helping anybody. You're not helping anything. Nothing's getting better and nothing will get any better. So I want to play this reverend talking about this because I couldn't put it any better. And he puts it perfectly. He happens to be a black guy. And he is talking to a black congregation in a black church. Give this a listen.
And then there's the problem of death. If we're going ideologically, the argument got to hold up on both sides. All the killing in our community ain't coming from white people. Come on, say amen if you can. We are killing one another. Our old people are scared to get out at night in their own community. They're not scared of white people. They're scared of young black boys on the street. Amen. No. All the killing that's going on ain't going on in River Oaks. It's going on in South Union, in Third Ward, on Cullen and Martin Luther King. Every street that's named after Martin Luther King across America is riddled with crime and death in the name of a man who stood for nonviolence. The church has got to accept some responsibility, because we in here singing and shouting on Sunday morning. Let's get out here and go tell that young black boy and that young black girl, we gonna teach you how to love yourself more than somebody taught you how to hate yourself. Pull your pants up. Take your nasty pajamas off when you get up in the morning to go outside. Wish I had somebody to help me. Act like you got good sense. Talk like somebody's raising you. A whole lot of our problems are self-inflicted. White people ain't breaking in my house. I wish I had a witness here.
You got a room full of them, Reverend, and at least as of this recording, there are 277 plus thousand views of that video on Twitter. Why is that message not being, why is this guy not being invited on TV? Why is it Al Sharpton? I'm not saying don't ever invite Al Sharpton. Hell, he's on the payroll of MSNBC and NBC News. You gotta probably contractually obligated to invite him. But why is this message not more prevalent? Because if you're going to work on big to small, if you're going to work on the problem, that's the big part of the problem. In Chicago, 40, 80, 100 people shot over the course of the last weekends. Why is it? Is it police doing that? No. If you want to address the problem, you got to start big to small. You don't. I already gave you the analogy, but if your house, your roof is blown off, and a little corner of the tile is being pulled up in the kitchen, are you, which one are you going to focus on first? Roof's leaking, rain's coming. You probably would focus on the roof first, as you should. The tile, you can get some stucco or glue or whatever the hell you use for tile and put that down after you make sure that the whole house isn't ruined from the storm coming in tomorrow. And that's what we're not getting from this. They're tearing down statues. Whose statue being torn down is going to make life better for people? Whose statue being torn down is going to save a life or even extend a life? No one's. No one's whatsoever. It's that simple. That actually, of none of the lives saved, no life has been saved by pulling down statues, but one guy did get hit in the head by a statue that was being pulled down, and he apparently cracked his skull. He's still alive, thank God, but you can't pretend that this is solving problems. It's actually people are being arrested for it, which is good. So it's actually creating problems. It's wanton vandalism. You want to get a statue removed? I really couldn't care less. If it's a Confederate, go ahead. I won't say anything. I'll probably sign a petition in support of it. You put it on a referendum? Yes, because I know that most of these Confederate monuments were put up during the Civil Rights Movement, specifically to give the middle finger to the Civil Rights Movement. Oh, you want this? You don't want us to oppress you? Well, we're going to put up a statue of, I can't remember the guy's name who founded the Klan, Nathan Bedford Forrest. We're going to put up a statue honoring him. That's shitty. That's bad. That shouldn't have been up there. The guy who founded the Klan should not have a statue to him. But if you want to blast Stone Mountain or whatever the hell it's called, I'd have a problem with that. That's art. And if you want to tear down and destroy a statue, I have a problem with that as well. It's part of our history. It doesn't have to be in the public square, because the public square is where everybody gets together. And, you know, nobody's ever going to be completely agreed upon. But I think we could all pretty much agree on that some asshole like the founder of the Klan Democrat in good standing should not have statues to him in the public square. You can put somebody else up there. Not, you know, some person who's popular at the moment. It should, I think, be somebody relevant throughout U.S. history. But if you want to take that down, that's fine, and put it in the yard of a museum or something. And we shouldn't forget, because, you know, it's not remembering Nathan Bedford Forrest. It would be remembering the civil rights struggle. And this is how Southern Democrats responded. They put statues up to the founder of the Klan. That should not be forgotten. That, by the way, is part of the reason why Democrats are either silent or in favor of these statues being torn down, a lot of them, because there are a lot of Democrats. And if those statues aren't there, if those statues are destroyed, then they no longer have to explain their racist past. Not that they really have to explain their racist past right now, but sooner or later, I mean, if they're going after the Simpsons and they're going after voice actors and they're going after the Golden Girls, how long can it be before people start, I don't know, reading up on the people that, well, probably don't have much to worry about because they're pulling down statues of abolitionists and Abraham Lincoln and stuff like that. So the possibility, the threat of these people reading and learning, probably pretty slim. But sooner or later they might. And they might notice that, hey, wait a second, all these people are Democrats. And then they could possibly come to the realization that the biggest living monument to the institution of slavery and segregation and Jim Crow in this country has remained unscathed, and that is the Democratic Party. It's not me making it up. It's true. You can look it up. The Democrats were the party of the Confederacy. The Democrats were the party that created segregation. The Woodrow Wilson, who had his name taken off the School of Public Policy at Princeton, it's about damn time, over the weekend, he was a progressive Democrat. You really want to look into the history. It's not just progressives. Progressives took it to an art form. But it was the Democratic Party that was the party of all of those things. And the Republican Party was founded with the explicit ideal to end slavery. Again, all of these, as Al Gore might say, inconvenient truths, are inconvenient to Democrats, but truths nonetheless. They're ignored truths right now. They're denied truths in a lot of ways, but truths nonetheless. And that is a problem for Democrats. Sooner or later, somebody's going to recognize this. Sooner or later, when some Republican points this out, some conservative points this out, it might sink in with somebody and go, hey, wait a second, we're out here actually fighting for the Democratic Party, because they are the leadership of the Black Lives Matter movement, the leadership of Antifa, and you watch interviews with the people on the streets, they are explicitly pro-Joe Biden. They're mostly anti-Donald Trump, but, you know, in realistic terms, being anti-Donald Trump means being pro-Joe Biden. It's just that simple. Our election is a binary choice. You don't get to, you could write in a third party, I suppose, or vote for whoever the libertarian is. I saw who it was. They couldn't even attract like a former member of Congress to run this year. So the Libertarian Party has become even a bigger joke. I saw somebody tweet out, this was a while ago, a picture of the vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party who was doing a video chat shirtless. Let's just say that, like many of us, this person should not have been doing a video chat shirtless, honestly. And they said, if the Libertarian Party wants to be taken seriously, they need to stop nominating people like this. And that really is where they've been. Last time, I think it was Gary Johnson, which is fine. It's somewhat respectable. He took a pledge not to smoke weed while president, which was a bit weird, but what are you going to do? At least he was a former elected official. He had some sort of credence to him. This year's model, not so much. They don't even have a shirt. So there you go. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's just funny. when you look and you listen to these people talk and you recognize that they are out there not defending, they're not defending the Democrats, they're advocating on behalf of the Democrats, which is the architect of all of the things that this country has had to destroy and they say is still struggling to destroy. And they are on their team. I don't know if it's, well, I assume it's because of Agenda Uber Alles. They are progressive, liberal, leftists, big government, wanting power. They're the dangerous wing of it, that if they ever, the people who are taken to the streets and tearing down things and throwing things at police, they would bring about a totalitarian regime, and they wouldn't even, I suspect, go with the re-education camps. They would just go straight with the extermination camps if they had their way, because they're just crazy. But they're doing the bidding of the Democratic Party. And they're doing it for the benefit of Joe Biden. That's why Joe Biden hasn't come out and condemned it. I wrote my column for Town Hall yesterday on this. There's a goal. Forgive me for a second as I deviate from the planned idea. Because I think this is important. And I don't know how many of you read my Town Hall columns, although you all should. There's a golden opportunity for Trump or Biden, but not both. That golden opportunity is standing up to this lawlessness, standing up to this anarchy. They have to do it differently, very differently. Donald Trump has to do it from a law and order perspective and just give voice to what he's tweeted a bunch of times while including a lot of empathy for what is seen, what is the spark. It's the spark. It was the left took advantage of it. They were ready to go at a moment's notice anyway. But the death, the killing of George Floyd, the president can't brush that off and the president can't ignore that. And he has to express empathy for that, understanding for that, and then say, but that doesn't excuse what we're seeing now. It can be done. It can be done quite artfully. I think it should be done from the Oval Office. It could also be done in another room at the White House or a Rose Garden speech or whatever. But I think considering how long this has gone on and how it's been hijacked by the radical left, it's not really about George Floyd anymore. And what's going on in Democrat-controlled cities across the country, you have to elevate this in a way that only a president can, and that is an Oval Office address. I think that would be very smart. Joe Biden, on the other hand, he has to address this, and he's been quiet so far on the tearing down of statues and the burning of buildings and the whatever, all this, that, and the, everything that we've been talking about. He's been quiet on it, so he's a bit of a blank slate as well as a blank head. But he has to worry about turning off the people on the streets, too many of them in the streets. Anybody who took to the streets, because they could see it as an assault on them, even if it was somebody who just went out there for the first week to protest George Floyd. Depends on how Joe Biden does it. Because they're both fighting over the same voters. There's about 6% of the population that is undecided, that is persuadable, right? It's sad that we don't have more people in this country with more open minds, that, you know, 25% of the population is open-minded. But I guess it's also good in that people are making decisions. I just think a lot of them are making the wrong decisions. Joe Biden has to find a way to attract the people in the middle who are uncommitted, who are horrified by what they're seeing, the anarchy, the destruction, the violence, the screaming, the yelling at police. How many more white girls do you have to see just going right into the face of a cop and yelling, you don't know what you're doing, you're part of the problem. This entitled asshole mentality of these people is out of control. Those protesters are horrifying a large swath of the population. President Trump and Joe Biden can reach those people. Donald Trump doesn't have to worry about alienating people by what he says, except for that if he doesn't tip his hat to what started it all, which is a much easier lift than Joe Biden, because Joe Biden's energy is all right there on the street. Nobody's excited about Joe Biden. Nobody gives a damn about Joe Biden. Nobody goes, man, I cannot wait until November 3rd because I finally, for the first time in my lifetime, get my dream of voting for Joe Biden for president. That's not happening. That's just no way in hell is that happening. Nobody thinks that. It is those people want to vote against Donald Trump. And Joe Biden has to worry about how many of them he turns off if he's seen as trying to, I don't know, be like Donald Trump. But this only works for one of them, by the way, because whoever goes first and does it well, but it doesn't, doing it well doesn't matter as much as doing it first. It matters. It'll help. But if somebody goes second, they'll be seen as, well, he's only saying that because the other person spoke up. If Joe Biden comes out and has a sister soldier moment where he stands up to the radicals and says, look, this is not America. This is not what we should be doing. This should be condemned. Mayors and governors have to restore order to their cities. The peaceful American public demands it and deserves it. Then he's going to tick off a lot of those people. But I think he'd attract more. Donald Trump does it. He's going to tick off all those people who already hate him anyway, so there's no loss there. And it will grab a large section of the silent, I don't even want to call it a majority anymore because I just honestly don't know. I'd like to think it's a majority, but the silent plurality of people who are absolutely horrified at what's going on in their cities. What's happening to history? Tearing down the Emancipation Statue of Abraham Lincoln? Wanting to? Demanding to? It's insane. But one of them has to do it soon before it's too late, and they certainly have to do it before the other person does it, because it will just be seen as Me Too-ism. Along those lines, I want to play this short clip. The Emancipation Statue down in Washington, D.C., near the Capitol, was targeted. It was supposed to be, the protesters said they were going to tear that thing down last Thursday, and then they postponed it to Friday, but they were still going to tear that thing down, and they didn't. The federal government put up a barrier around it, a big fence that's, you can't really climb. Seems like somebody could lasso it still, but there's also police down there. The problem, I mean, we shouldn't have to put barriers around our statues to protect them from being torn down. We shouldn't have to close parks to prevent statues from being torn down. We should, you know, police should be able to handle it. It shouldn't be an angry mob out there with a whole bunch of ropes and heavy machinery ready to pull these things down. You're going to keep getting that unless and until somebody makes this kind of speech I just talked about, and it does it effectively, because then I think that that could let a lot of the air out of the tires of these radicals, send them home, bring back some semblance of sanity and insane coronavirus time. But I want to play this audio because there were two elderly black men down at the statue on Friday. One was dressed as Frederick Douglass. He's not the main one talking here. He just comes in at the end. The other one is a guy who runs Black DC Tours or whatever. He does a tour of Washington, D.C.'s black history. And then there is a woke millennial activist, black woman in a mask, screaming at him. And this guy has a basic question. Do you know who paid for the statue? The statue that they were all there demanding be torn down. The answer, if you're playing the home game, is freed slaves. They commissioned a statue. They raised money and commissioned a statue to honor Abraham Lincoln and the emancipation of the slaves. Now, you can debate over whether or not you think the statue is a good statue. Frederick Douglass had a little bit of an issue with it, but he did not call for its destruction or redoing. And if you look at it, it does clearly portray a former slave whose shackles have been broken going through the act of standing up as Abraham Lincoln stands there and basically says, "You are now free." And the former slave is in the act of standing up. He's not on two knees. He's on one knee, and the other knee is bent, and the foot is on the ground, as you would as you're standing up. That's what it is. A statue captures a moment. This audio was from Friday of this woman arguing with this elderly man. and pay particular attention to how she can't answer a basic question. She won't even address the basic question. She's screaming and yelling frantically while the man who's in his 70s or 80s is calmly trying to have a conversation with her that she's completely ill-equipped for. And she considers him to be arguing with her. Listen to it. The screeching, that guy deserves an award for standing there and taking the screeching and screaming and yelling at him. Why are you fighting me? Why are you Because you are insane. You are in a frenzy and you want to destroy a piece of art that is very important and tells a very important story if you don't look at it through crazed eyes, if you look at it rationally and logically. But because you're in a frenzy, you cannot look at it in that way. It's that simple. She ended up walking away, storming away in a huff. They have not claimed the statue yet. President Trump has vowed that they will not claim the statue, and that is an excellent thing. They will not claim any more statues. They've made arrests of four people so far who tried to pull down the Andrew Jackson statue in front of the White House. They came alarmingly close to that one. But it's really up to the mayors and the governors to restore sanity to these places. The federal government has control over Washington, D.C., over sections of Washington, D.C. that are federal property. Like maybe all, but they do have a mayor there as well. They have a city government. The rest of the country has to take care of itself, and they're not. They're letting it happen. Now, President Trump has been pointing out that these cities, these dangerous cities where riots are happening, where crime is spiking, New York's crime is up over 100%, shootings up over 100% from this time last year. Really, you know, they were going in a great direction after Rudy Giuliani. They kept going in that direction. And now they've completely reversed because police are pulling back. Police are otherwise engaged with the rioters. So there's shootings gone way up. As, by the way, as President Trump points this out, that dangerous cities in America are run by Democrats, the Washington Post, a guy named Phil Bump, who just seems about as charming as you would expect a guy with the name Phil Bump to be, he did an analysis in the Washington Post. Its headline, Trump keeps claiming that the most dangerous cities in America are all run by Democrats. They aren't. And in the piece, they actually included this chart of the the mayorships, the mayoralty or whatever, by party affiliation, in the cities with the most violent crimes, right? And they have the list, and then they have the list broken down by per 10,000 residents, you know, violent crimes per 10,000 residents. All of them but three of the top 20, I believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yes, all but three of the top violence, 20 top violent cities in the United States overall are controlled by Democrats. Two of the three that aren't controlled by Democrats are controlled by left-wing independents, people who are like, I'm not a Democrat, I'm a radical socialist Democrat or whatever. So that brings us to one, Jacksonville, Florida. Of the top 20 most violent crime-riddled cities in the United States that have a mayor that is a Republican, that is Jacksonville, Florida. It is number 16, or number 17, sorry. Way down on the list. Now, if you go by per 100 or per 10,000 residents, violent crimes per 10,000 residents, there is no Republican in the list. There's one independent in Springfield, Missouri, who is number 5. And the rest are all Democrats. But the Washington Post said, well, Donald Trump keeps saying that they're all Democrats. That's not true. Number 16 on the list is a Republican. Well, maybe the president was referring to the top 10. Maybe the president was referring to the top 15. You don't know. You don't care. You just wanted that headline because you know that more people will read the headline than will read your chart. But that they included this chart in this piece, thinking that somehow they're going to make a point that'll burn Trump, shows how just insane these people are. Phil Bump. Phil Bump is, I don't know what, he's a contributor to one of the cable channels. It ain't Fox. He is a highly respected journalist out there because he's crazy left wing. Not particularly bright if he's putting this together and making that claim. But it's hilarious the lengths to which these people will go to beclown themselves in order to what they view, what they think is owning Donald Trump. They really end up owning themselves. But you can meet Donald Trump, by the way. Did I mention that? President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. We'll be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer, and he wants you to enter for a chance to win to join him at the convention. If you win, the team, the Trump team, will cover the flight, the hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. And having been to a few conventions now, those VIP passes are gold. All you have to do is text the word TRIP to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. You get a picture taken with him, everything. That's TRIP, T-R-I-P, to 88022 to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be President Trump's special guest, paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. Text the word TRIP to 88022. It helps the show, too. It lets them know that you guys are proactive. And even if you don't want it, you don't have to go to the convention, but you should. Conventions are a lot of fun, and you get a chance to meet the president. My God, and all you have to do is text a word to 88022, text the word TRIP. It's awesome. Okay, I'm going to talk just for a second about this insanity, because you've got NBC News, or NBC, not NBC News. NBC has four TV shows that are out there now that they've had to pull episodes of because there's blackface. People are going after Tina Fey. People are going after, what are the other shows? I can't remember. 30 Rock was a great show. I don't remember there being a blackface episode, but it's been a while since I've watched 30 Rock. I don't think I've watched it since it was on. But they had four shows total. Saturday Night Live is one of them that they pulled episodes of and apologized for because it was some form of blackface. Now, you have to be in a frenzy to think that Tina Fey and the gang at 30 Rock, lefties, hilarious show, by the way, they're all lefties, would do blackface as anything other than to be anti-racist, to illustrate a ridiculous point or whatever. And that's what these are done in. But it's nice to see, as I always say, Frankenstein's monster does return to the castle to destroy. That's just the way it works. And they're getting a dose of their own medicine. Now, it's kind of funny watching people going, do we really need to destroy Tina Fey? Can't we just forgive and forget? I mean, it's Tina Fey, and Jimmy Kimmel has apologized. The right-wingers pounce on Jimmy Kimmel for his history, long history. Actually, he did it several times and did it a lot on the radio of portraying black men in blackface, in black makeup, in full black makeup. I don't personally have a problem with it just because if you're doing a comedy skit show and you're going to do a skit on a black guy and make fun of Karl Malone and the way he talks, so what? I'm not hypersensitive. But Jimmy Kimmel, from a hypocrisy standpoint, Jimmy Kimmel is part of the woke mob that'll go after you if you did it. The Washington Post went after some random woman who went to their political cartoonist's Halloween party 2 years ago and destroyed her life. And everybody kind of sat around and goes, what in the hell was that for? Why'd you destroy that woman's life? She didn't do anything. So they should get a dose of their own medicine. As I always say, it's not our fault. It's a pointy, spiky suppository. You guys made it. You got to deal with it. Maybe, just maybe, if there are a couple of scalps claimed on the left, then people will go, wait, all right, we've gone too far and we need to stop this. But as long as they're going to hold random people to this standard, you damn well better believe that a Jimmy Kimmel should be held to this standard. Do I want Jimmy Kimmel fired? Kind of, but mostly because he's not funny anymore. Then we get to the Golden Girls. Now, the Golden Girls is your prototypical 1980s sitcom. My niece, for some weird reason that is beyond me, absolutely loves Golden Girls. Whenever all the family is up visiting my dad, she's a late night owl, and so am I. And you flip around, my dad doesn't, he has satellite TV, but he doesn't have very many. He has channels, but a lot of them are garbage. When she gets the remote, she puts on Golden Girls. And if it's just her and I who are still up, I have to make sure she doesn't get the remote. Nothing against Golden Girls. It's just I don't need the Golden Girls. Well, they apparently stream on Hulu every episode. Now, they have pulled one episode. So if you're subscribing to Hulu, you can watch every episode of the Golden Girls except one. Because in it, they do so-called blackface. But they don't actually do blackface. They're doing a mud mask on their face. The Hollywood Reporter has the story. The streamer's removal of an item. Hulu has removed an episode of The Golden Girls that contains a scene in which Betty White and Rue McClanahan are mistaken for wearing blackface. Blackface. Mixed Feelings, episode 23 in season 3 of the sitcom, aired in 1988 and shows Michael, son of Dorothy, planning to wed a much older black woman. Dorothy is concerned over the age difference while Lorraine's family disapproves of their daughter marrying a white man, and thus the two families attempt to end the marriage. In the episode, Lorraine's family finds Rose and Blanche trying a new mud facial treatment as they greet their family. Rose says, quote, this is mud on our faces. We're not really black. Now, Rose, Betty White, I think is the only Golden Girl still with us, is the dumb one. It's a polite way to put it. This becomes the latest show to remove scenes or episodes featuring blackface. Episodes of 30 Rock and Community have been taken off of their respective streaming platforms, as has UK's sketch series Little Britain. Late night host Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel recently apologized for performing blackface sketches early in their careers, and HBO Max has added a disclaimer to Gone with the Wind about its depiction of slavery after briefly removing the film from its library. Whose life is being saved by this? Whose life is being made better by this? Anybody? Oh, well, I thought I was going to die, but then I learned that Rue McClanahan and Betty White will no longer have mud caked on their faces in an episode of The Golden Girls, so, whew. Life saved, bullet dodged, if you will. This is a frenzy, ladies and gentlemen. This is an insane, unstable frenzy. I don't even know what kind of country my kids are going to grow up in, to be perfectly honest with you. I fear for it. This is insane. Speaking of insane, I want to play Chuck Todd. Little Chuck Todd had on his pro, because there's a couple of stories going on around the president. The president, of course, John Bolton is out there saying the president is a danger and blah, blah, blah. He even called the president an existential threat. A second term being an existential threat, which is ridiculous. Existential threat means a threat to its existence. The idea that Donald Trump is a threat to this country's existence is insane. Especially when the alternative is a whole bunch of people who are openly advocating for an end to the existence of the United States of America. Just a thought. But Chucky has on John Bolton, and he asks him the most ridiculous question. This idea, because they're talking about this so-called story, the White House has denied it, that Russia has put a bounty on U.S. troops for the Taliban, right? They pay Taliban, they kill Americans and coalition forces in Afghanistan, and Russia will pay you, as if somehow we're supposed to believe that Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and these radical Islamic terrorists need an incentive somehow. No, I don't want to kill anybody unless you got cash. You got cash? Then sure, yeah, I'll go out and kill people. That ain't how it works. Frequent guest on this show, Sean Parnell, who served 485 days in Afghanistan, could attest to that. They don't need a financial incentive. But the White House is denying this. The intelligence is a bit shaky, and apparently the president was never briefed on it because they don't brief the president on intelligence that they haven't confirmed, right? If they did confirm it, and that'll be a bigger story. If they kept it from the president, or if the president was briefed on it, that would be a bigger story. But as of right now, this is where the story stands. So Chuck Todd is talking to John Bolton, because John Bolton is selling an anti-Trump book, and that'll get you booked on Meet the Press in a heartbeat. And he asks him, if President Trump is so soft on Vladimir Putin because Vladimir Putin helped elect Donald Trump. I'm not kidding. And he's worried that Vladimir Putin might not help re-elect him in 2020. Now, we just spent, what, 3 years, $30 million in the Mueller investigation. Every news organization on the planet was looking into this. They found nothing. It's weird, Ali. They all found all this stuff that ended up being fake. And they never burned any of their sources. They never said, hey, this person lied to me. But they have this Russia Trump puppet thing on the brain still, even though it's not even that it's never been proven. It's been actively debunked, as we're seeing on a daily basis now, as we're learning more about the origins of all of this crap. It was the Obama administration, with the help of Vice President Biden, by the way, who launched all of this crap in an attempt to damage the Trump presidency. That escapes Chuck Todd, apparently. I can't tell if Chuck Todd doesn't know or hopes his audience doesn't know. Neither is a particularly good option, but it is entirely possible that Chuck Todd, since NBC News and ABC and CNN and all of them have not actively covered the intelligence leaks and not leaks, releases under Rick Grenell. They've actively ignored them or tried to undercut them. It's possible that Chuck Todd just doesn't know. It's really possible that Chuck Todd doesn't know. But I suspect it's more that Chuck Todd doesn't want his audience to know. Anyway, listen to this. This is a journalist. So you would think he would follow the news, asking this question of John Bolton.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that part of that the president is afraid to make Putin mad because maybe Putin did help him win the election and he doesn't want to make him mad for 2020?
Honestly, I don't think there's evidence for that.
How freaking insane is that? I'm not so, well, I don't, do you think he doesn't want to be mean to Vladimir Putin because he did help him? Where have you been? I mean, I know where your head has been for the past 3 years, Chuck. Longer than that, actually. It's been up his own for the past 3 years. It was up Barack Obama's for the previous eight. Could you imagine Tim Russert ever asking that question? That shaking of the earth that you felt was Tim Russert rolling over in his grave every time that clip is played. Because it's insane. It shows an ignorance, either on his behalf or on behalf of the news, on behalf of his audience, that he would dare ask that question. He would frame it that way, you think? Because maybe Vladimir Putin really did help him. Can we somehow bring back, get the band back together and go for that insanity again? Please, 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 sir, please. I think Bolton was taken aback by how stupid the question was. Where have you been? What's going on? But that's what Meet the Press has devolved into. I saw that on social media because Meet the Press airs weirdly later in Washington on the East Coast than it does when it's recorded. So clips were already circulating and people were talking about it in other cities because it airs whenever the local NBC station wants to see it. And I saw the clip, but I said, I gotta see the context of this because it can't. There has to be some kind of setup. There has to be some kind of something that would cause a human being to say something so entirely stupid. And there wasn't. There wasn't. Speaking of a human being saying something incredibly stupid, we go to New York next, to Governor Andrew Cuomo. You know, I think we might all owe Fredo an apology, because maybe he's not the dumb one. We all just assumed that Fredo, Chris Cuomo, was the dumb Cuomo brother. But it might be a closer to a photo finish and maybe a tie than we all were aware of before. He appeared on, I think it was CNN, but it could have been Meet the Press. Doesn't matter. And no, he was on Meet the Press. That's right. And he was finally asked, well, he's been asked a couple of times, but there's really been no serious discussion about it. And this wasn't a serious discussion either. They've been allowing him to gloss over his nursing home policy. Listen to the way, and this is why I think that Andrew Cuomo is more diabolical than stupid. Listen to the way that Andrew Cuomo frames the nursing home deaths, for which he is largely directly responsible for. I don't say completely directly responsible for, because some people would have gotten it in nursing homes anyway, the coronavirus. But he is the one who ordered sick people into nursing homes. He forbade nursing homes from denying entry and long-term care facilities from denying entry to patients who were diagnosed with coronavirus, knowing full well that the staff was ill-prepared for it and it would likely spread like wildfire through them, which it did. I believe they've stopped reporting nursing home deaths in New York too, again, so we don't really actually know the numbers. I've seen estimates from 5,000 to 15,000. We just get total number of deaths out of New York. But listen to Andrew Cuomo and how he frames this. This is the numbers game that I'm always talking about.
We've talked about this, about nursing homes before, and you've taken some heat on the directive, and you've said you were following a national directive. But let me ask it again similarly at this point. Do you think these senior centers are safe, period?
Yeah. Look, there's I've taken political heat, okay? There are facts and there's politics. There's no doubt in nursing homes all across this nation, that's where we saw most of the deaths. Not most, but almost 50% of the deaths. Senior citizens in congregate settings. It's becoming more and more clear that the infection in the nursing homes came from the staff that got infected and brought it in. But in New York, we're number 46 in the nation in terms of percentage of deaths at nursing homes compared to the total percentage. By the New York Times, we're number 46. So it's been unfortunate in every state. We have to do more. We have to figure it out. But if they want to point fingers, not at New York. We're number 46. You have 45 other states to point fingers at first.
Note the sleight of hand he's using there? Ooh, we're ranked 46th in percentage of deaths in there. Because he can't use raw numbers. So raw numbers are anywhere between 5,000 and 15,000, depending on whether or not we ever get an accurate counting of it. But New York State has had 25,000 deaths, by far the tops in the country. So that as a percentage, maybe if it's 5,000, he says, well, we got lower percentage. That's just a testament to his own incompetence that other people got sick in say, Florida. 3,000 dead, 4,000 dead, and 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 are the most vulnerable. Those numbers are wrong, but I'm just making this up. Then they say, well, they're 50%. Of their deaths came from senior citizens, whereas ours is only 25%. Yet who has more? Who has more senior citizens? See, when you get to make up, when you get to choose the unit of measure, well, you always come out on top. And that's what Cuomo is abusing there. Of course, Chuck Todd doesn't care, doesn't know, I don't know, but he lets it slide because it's Chris Cuomo. Note the question, you've been attacked about this anyway. No pressure, because he hasn't satisfactorily answered the question. No pressure, they just kind of let it go, because it's all garbage. They're all on the same team, ladies and gentlemen. So Chris Cuomo continues to get away with his incompetence. And his incompetence in nursing homes is only saved in the rankings because of his incompetence everywhere. Well, we've had fewer percentage-wise people die in nursing homes because I was so bad everywhere that we had tens of thousands of people die. You couldn't make this, you shouldn't try to make this up, because this is sick. This is wrong. What isn't wrong, though, is that President Trump wants to meet you. That's right. You maybe didn't do it earlier in the show. Now's your chance at the end of the show. There'll be the 2020 Republican convention this summer, and President Trump wants you to enter for a chance to join him at the convention. If you win, the Trump team will cover your flight, your hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. You and a friend, family member, spouse, whatever, get to go down and attend the convention in the VIP area, and you get to meet President Trump. You get a picture taken with President Trump. He'll probably sign your autograph for you if you want. I'd get a book signed again. All you have to do is text the word TRIP, T-R-I-P, to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Again, that's TRIP, T-R-I-P, to 88022 to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be the president's special guest at the convention. That doesn't come around very often. This is paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. Make sure you do that. Helps the show as we branch out on our own. I thank you for sticking with us. Keep spreading the word, rating and reviewing on iTunes, and doing all that good stuff. Subscribing, telling a friend. We'll be back tomorrow with another exciting episode, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of crazy between then and now. Thank you.